As I said at the outset, we don't have very many recent developments to talk about in terms of impacting the estate and gift tax. As far as private letter rulings, they've all but disappeared. The question is why? Part of the answer is top of page, is page three. They're rather expensive now. The standard fee for a PLR is $30,000. Here's everybody railing about discrimination in favor of the rich. We've taken 99.8% of the population out of the opportunity, the economic status, to even ask the government. But you can always call them on the telephone and get some really good advice. But anyhow. And additionally, paragraph two, so many states are off the table with 11.4 or 11.56 exemption. That's why you don't see any tax court case dealing with state, unless the gift was made or the decedent died in 2010 or 2011. It just doesn't come up. The service, the good news is, the service very wisely and very happily have supplanted the need for letter rulings in several frequently encountered areas. For example, the 60-day, why is that only 60 days to complete that rollover with the spouse or transfer from one IRA to the other? Why not 90 days? Why not 120 days, something like that? 60 days is a relatively short period of time, especially if a layperson is involved without the assistance of CPA or an attorney. Well, then anyhow, it's got, generally got to be completed within that 60. There was passels, just bushel baskets full of private letter rulings dealing with, I've got circumstances seeking to waive the 60-day requirement. Thank goodness. This RevProc in 2016 provides a self-certification procedure subject only to verification on audit if the return is ever audited. And plan administrators and IRA custodians and trustees can rely on this self-certification, which must satisfy one of 11 listed conditions: financial institution errors, misplaced or uncashed checks, distributions deposited in non-IRA accounts, serious illness either to the taxpayer or to somebody in the family, et cetera, and so forth. And the good news is that the RevProc has a form for making that. That's really good stuff. Paragraph two, extension of time to elect portability. That came out in 2017. Where the service noted, quote, the considerable number of ruling requests for an extension of time to elect portability, that indicates a need for continuing relief. Furthermore, the considerable number of ruling requests received by the service has placed a significant burden. And so, under this RevProc, an extension is automatically granted without the need for a PLR if a form 706 is filed later of January 2nd, 2018, or the second anniversary. You've got 2 years after the decedent's death. I left in purpose that thing. It had to be done by the later of January 2, 2008, or the second anniversary of the decedent's death, because that lays a predicate for the four rulings that I've cited, and essentially the only four rulings I've found with respect to estate and gift tax issues. In all of these rulings, the service granted extension to file a return, making a late portability election. The PLRs, as the only thing that is not redacted from any private letter ruling, is the date of issuance and the date of the request for the ruling in the first place. And all four of these rulings were dated in June or July of 2018. Notice that is after January 2nd, 2018. And so their surmise is that the decedent had died 2.5 or 3 years before, and the taxpayer's representatives did not know about this RevProc until January 2, 2018 expired. Well, at any rate, a rather significant fact or factoid is not covered by this very nice RevProc, and that is, what if the issue is not discovered until after The second decedent has died. The decedent's spouse has died. Dad died 4 years ago, and now Mom has died. And now everybody says, why in the hell was no portability election made? No relief is granted for that one because the triggering date is the date of the death of the first decedent. The lesson here, at bottom of page 3, top of page 4, it is essential that the DSU issue be discussed with the clients at a certain economic level. And as to what that certain economic level is, I would be recommend being rather conservative. It is quite possible that the exemption is going to be lowered, perhaps to 5 million with extensions, with CPI, perhaps to 3.5 million, based on the, quote, mere millionaires with a community estate of only $8 or $9 million. It may be very significant for that second, the second spouse to die, to have as much exemption as available. We're going to be talking about this afternoon. How do we get that information to the surviving spouse who is not a client, who is not the executor whom your law firm is representing? There's some rather interesting and problematic issues. And I want to bring to your attention this Belt v. Oppenheimer.